This is the Science Show number 2263. In the Australian newspaper last week, Judith Sloan took pains to write about the uncertainties of science. On Monday of this week in The Telegraph, Alan Jones took a whole page to echo her denigration of climate research. Both newspapers often use words such as alarmism, hoax, and religion in connection with the topic. Well, I thought you'd be interested in the inside view of a former science writer in The Australian. Lee Dayton studied at Berkeley, has a PhD from Macquarie University, wrote for the New Scientist magazine and the Globe and Mail in Canada, and the journal Science.
Two disclosures straight off the top. First, I'm an inner-city raving lunatic, according to Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormick. That is, having covered climate science for over 25 years as a journal, I accept the scientific consensus that human-induced climate change is underway. I don't like it, but it's happening. The concept is hardly new. In 1824, Napoleon Bonaparte's mathematician, Joseph Fourier, first proposed that the Earth's atmosphere keeps the planet warm. Then in 1896, Greta Thunberg's relative, Svante Arrhenius, calculated the amount of atmospheric warming from CO2 emissions. He even concluded that human-caused CO2 emissions from fossil fuel burning and other combustion processes are large enough to cause global warming. He did that in 1896. Disclosure number two. I was the science writer at the Australian newspaper from 2002 to September 2012. I was given the boot as part of a media-wide redundancy round that saw hundreds of journos lose their jobs nationwide. The great heave-ho of 2012 is linked to the Australian's contemporary climate change denialism. I'll come back to this point in a minute. What's brought the subject to the top of the news, though not in the Australian or any of Rupert Murdoch's other News Corp outlets, is the resignation early last month of News Corp commercial finance manager Emily Townsend. In a blistering resignation letter leaked to The Guardian, Townsend said, quote, "I find it unconscionable to continue working for this company, knowing I'm contributing to the spread of climate change denial and lies," end quote. Then a few days later, Rupert's son James and his wife Catherine Hufschmid released a withering statement to the U.S. website, The Daily Beast. In it, they blasted the company's coverage of climate change. Ouch. And speaking of bushfires, I don't think I need to argue that The Oz has ramped up climate change denialism, especially in opinion pieces, since last September when the fire season began. Like climate science itself, this is nothing new. In 2012, Professor of Politics Robert Mann reported a detailed study of all the news articles The Australian published in a 7-year period up to April 2011. He found only 180 articles favorable to the idea of taking action to slow down climate change. These were overwhelmed by 700 that were unfavorable, a ratio of about 4-to-1 opposing action. The imbalance in opinion pieces was even worse, with dozens of columns from writers with no scientific expertise whatsoever attacking the science of climate change. And remember, this was when I was at the paper writing news and opinion pieces. Now go back to 2012, when I was made redundant. Part of the reason so many journalists were fired from so many commercial news outlets reflected two significant factors: the global financial crisis and the loss of advertising from print to online. Media worldwide took a financial dive when advertisers, hit in the pocket by the GFC, cut back on advertising. Australia was no exception. Meanwhile, the rise of the internet and sites like Facebook reduced the need for people to buy subscriptions to get the news. The economic model which underpinned generations of news outlets began to wobble. In response, the then-editor-in-chief, Chris Mitchell, took action. He introduced a paywall and reviewed the paper's strategy. Now, bear in mind that I'm not a, well, mind reader. This is how the process looked from my desk in the newsroom. hoping to corner a segment of the market not covered by competitors such as Fairfax Media, now part of Nine Entertainment, and other outlets such as The Guardian, The New York Times, and of course the ABC, Mitchell turned right. The shift fit neatly with the rise of right-wing politics in Australia, as well as with Rupert's overseas ventures. And of course, under the circumstances, the last thing you want around is a contrarian science writer. Clearly, I no longer subscribe to The Australian, but I do look at its daily coverage. To borrow from Sun Tzu, know thy enemy, know thyself, 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. Still, I hope the current editor-in-chief, Chris Doerr, pulls back on the anti-science rhetoric. Don't deny the problem. Debate the solutions, and do so fairly. That's what the paper once did so well. The Oz was once like The Economist, conservative and honest. Now it's not. And it continues to argue against taking meaningful action against climate change, despite claims to the contrary from staff and columnists. For instance, a January 11th editorial argues the paper's stance on the link between bushfires and climate change has been, quote, willfully and ineptly misrepresented, end quote, by competitors. And even Rupert has denied the denialism. Back in November, he responded to a question about climate change at the company AGM. Quote, there are no climate change deniers around, I can assure you, end quote. Well, I'm not assured, Rupert, and that's a disservice to us all.
Dr. Lee Dayton, science writer from the inner city.